For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Martin McCloskey on fire. This is Mark McCloskey on fire.
Not getting no doubt.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Mark McCloskey on Fire. Well, you know, this week has been another interesting week in the political world. They managed to wake up Joe Biden, fill him with enough drugs that he could stand on his feet for an hour, and although it took him an extra half an hour to get him on stage, he eventually was able to show up and be Mr. Tough Guy, right? You know, my wife and I used to raise and breed quarter horses. And the variety of quarter horses we raise are called halter horses. All they do is they stand there. It's like a dog show, right? They're big, muscular animals. They're like bodybuilders. But you gotta pump them up so you can see all the veins and everything. And they're pretty cool-looking animals until you go back into the barn and you see them getting prepped, right? And every one of these horses has got a big syringe stuck in their neck and this big canister of green stuff running into their veins, right, to get them all pumped up for the show. Apparently this is legal. Everybody kind of hides it behind the screen. We never did it with our horses, but everybody else did. But you know, it's kind of surreptitious, but I guess they do it. They got this great big gallon jug of this green stuff they're running into their veins to make the veins pop, make the horses look filled out. Well, I can just envision Joe Biden, the afternoon before his State of the Union address, sitting there in the White House, strapped to a chair with all these tubes in him and all this stuff being run into him. Come on, Joe, you can wake up. Wake up, Joe. We're going to put you on television here. You're going to be a tough guy. You're going to show everybody how vital you are, how virile you are, how you're a great candidate for the presidency. And boy, he did it too. He stood up there and shouted at us for 58 minutes. The guy who was going to unite the country, 13 times blasted President Trump and called us all, you know, that we're responsible for everything. You know, it might occur to the average person who actually observed what's going on that this border crisis thing might be Joe Biden's fault. And the fact that it now costs $60 for a family of three to get dinner at Five Guys hamburgers and, you know, little things like that. Nah, it's all the super MAGA Republicans' fault. Okay. But I got to tell you the thing that was the most appalling to me. I'm watching Joe Biden coming into the House chamber, shaking hands and getting selfies taken, and all the Republican bigwigs. He's walking in. He's got Chuck Schumer behind him. Behind Chuck Schumer is Steve Scalise. And here's Steve Scalise, big smile on his face, big handshake, even taking selfies of himself with the president. I'm going to play you a little clip here, and you'll see, you know, here is Steve Scalise, who's actually almost murdered by a Democrat, who's walking in behind a guy who's destroying this country, actively, intentionally destroying this country, and Steve's got this big smile on his face. Well, here you go, folks. Watch this. And, you know, here you've got Joe Biden, you've got the Democrat establishment, you've got the swamp, you've got the deep state, you've got the uniparty, you've got the leader of everything that's evil in the world, a guy who is truly evil, a man who's responsible, personally responsible for the death of 50-some thousand people every year in this country through fentanyl overdoses for refusing to close the border. Here's a guy who's responsible for mass death. Here's a guy who's responsible for the death of Lake and Riley just immediately before his State of the Union address. And instead of having the party that's supposedly opposing that, instead of having the leaders of the Republican Party standing in unison against that and refusing to acknowledge his right, refusing to acknowledge that he should even be the president of the United States, refusing to acknowledge that he's engaged in more death and misery to the United States than anybody in our lifetime, They smile. They laugh. They shake hands. They walk in this triumphant parade into the House chambers. And then sitting behind him when Joe Biden is addressing the joint houses of Congress and the United States public, you've got Mike Johnson and you got Kamala Harris sitting behind him. And here's the Speaker of the House smiling and clapping instead of looking like what happened when Donald Trump gave his first State of the Union address. Nancy Pelosi afterwards took his script, tore it in half, and dropped it on the table, showing her disdain for the opposition party. Well, Donald Trump didn't kill anybody. Donald Trump wasn't responsible for the death of tens of thousands. Donald Trump didn't let millions of illegal aliens and terrorist cell groups and everything else into this country. In fact, he fought vigorously against it and shut down the border and made us a country that was respected and feared around the world. He got Joe Biden personally responsible for the death of tens of thousands, personally responsible for the trafficking, slave labor, tens of thousands, 80,000 plus kids that have disappeared into the country and God knows where, personally responsible for flying 300,000 illegal aliens into the country on jet airplanes at your expense and mine, and instead of looking at him in abject horror and dismay and every possible thing other than a happy expression, our Republican leaders are smiling, applauding, looking like they're just pleased to be bathed in the wonderful presence of Joe Biden. What could be more sickening, right? Why do we pretend that this thing called a Republican Party exists if that's the way these people are going to fawn over a guy that's responsible for so much misery? A guy that has taken this country from being economically vital. Oh, by the way, according to his version of it, this country was in an economic mess until he became president. And now, of course, everything's wonderful. Yeah, when you think it's wonderful, the next time you go to the grocery store, see your bill. Well, oh, and by the way, it's only because of the super MAGA Republicans, my predecessor in office, as he would say, that the border's open, and that the only reason why we have a border crisis is those evil Republicans refused to sign the Senate's new border bill. What are you going to do? Why do we have this thing called a Republican Party? Why do we have the pretense of a two-party system when in the real world, everybody up there in D.C., and I can't tell you, pull it up, watch it on YouTube, watch President Biden coming into the House chamber and watch everybody's expression. Even MTG, when she's handing him the Laken Riley button and saying, say her name, she doesn't look like she's talking to the Antichrist. Shouldn't look like she's talking to the devil incarnate. Shouldn't look like she's talking to the person who is actively seeking to destroy this country, seeking to destroy our heritage, seeking to destroy Western civilization. She talks to him as if he's a regular human being, and what she wants to do is get him to say the name of Laken Riley, which he eventually almost does, but he mispronounces it, of course, because he's a senile old poop. But nonetheless, You got to just look at this guy in abject horror, and you can't accept him as just an ordinary human being. You can't accept him as just another unscrupulous politician, because whether he knows it or not, and who knows what he knows, whether he knows it or not, he is at least the face, the name that's responsible for the intentional destruction of our civilization, and maybe irreparably. What's 10, 13, 15 million undocumented aliens? By the way, he actually called them illegals last night. And by the way, the Democrat Party doesn't recognize the existence of illegals. As one of our illustrious extreme leftist squad members said, no human being is illegal. Well, tell it to John Wayne Gacy or tell it to Charles Manson, okay? No human being is illegal. But we don't have illegal aliens anymore. We don't have undocumented people anymore. We've got newcomers, okay? They're now newcomers. And so even if they rape you and murder you or dismember you or beat cops in the streets, they're newcomers. We have to welcome our newcomers because they're the future of America. And they're going to turn America just like in the countries that they came from, right? Because wouldn't that be wonderful? Donald Trump call them? Sh-hole countries, right? We got all these people coming from these sh-hole countries. And my producer is making a note here so he can X that out. But the President of the United States said it. The President of the United States said, I think I can call them sh-hole countries too. And when you bring these people in from these sh-hole countries, what do you expect them to do to our country? Are they going to improve our country by coming here from sh-holes? Are they going to make our life better? Are they going to improve our civilization? Are they going to make our cities more prosperous and more beautiful? Are they going to bring to America the beauty and cleanliness and hygiene and success of the mud huts they came from, or the grass sheds that they came from, or the cinder block sheds they came from? Is this going to improve our overall culture? Well, I can tell you one thing that the Democrats hope it'll do. They hope it'll enhance their likelihood of creating a single-party state for the rest of humanity. But I'm kind of hoping they're wrong. I'm kind of hoping that other than the gang members and the sleeper cells that are crossing the border, some good, hardworking Latin American and Mexicano are coming here that really want to work hard, really want to make their lives better. And I can tell you from the folks that we've employed in the past that you find, and I lived in Texas for a long time, used to go to Mexico. Every single Mexican's house has got a crucifix on the wall and a copy of the Last Supper, right? These are God-fearing, hardworking people that want to make their lives better. And I'm hoping that the majority of the people that are coming here illegally fall into that category, because I think the Democrats will be a little surprised that the last thing that these God-fearing, hardworking people want to do is become wards of the state. They had a corrupt government they're leaving. Maybe they'll actually enjoy coming to a country where hard work will lead to success, where self-reliance will lead to prosperity, instead of coming in here and just wanting to, suck off the tit of government. Well, so I asked this question. I was doing another television program this morning, and I asked this question: why the hell do I have a passport, right? When Patty and I leave the country and we come back in, we go through customs. You got to show a passport. The machine you pass by takes a picture of your face, compares it to the government's omnipotent knowledge machine, one of these AI things that has your face recognized. It not only do you have to show them your written passport, the all-powerful AI machine looks at your face and has to recognize you, or you don't get allowed in the country if you're an American citizen with a passport. But if you're not an American citizen, if you're a Venezuelan terrorist or somebody from Ethiopia or somebody from Yemen or somebody from anywhere else in the world, without a passport, without any verification of who you are, without any evidence that you're coming here for any legitimate purpose, you walk through a hole in the fence, the government hands you a free cell phone. The government hands you a debit card with $2,200 on it. They put you on a bus, or they put you on an airplane, and they fly you to someplace like the Roosevelt Hotel in downtown Manhattan, New York City, formerly a really nice hotel, and they put you up in a hotel room at your value, at your dollar and mine, until now, where the governor of the state of New York has now decided that New York has now become so dangerous that they have to have 750 National Guardsmen guarding the subway stations in New York City to make the subways safe, so that the people that ride the subway don't have to get raped, murdered, and killed. And tell it to Daniel Penny, right? He's a guy that kept one of these terrorists from trying to kill people on a New York subway. And guess what? He gets charged. He goes to jail for trying to protect people that the governor of New York has now assigned 750 National Guardsmen to take the place of private citizens like Daniel Penny. I mean, this world is so completely and totally upside down. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if I were you, and I am one of you, I would write to my state, my House of Representatives, I'd write to my congressman, I'd write to my senator, and I'd say, how dare you smile and laugh and joke when the alleged President of the United States struts into the House chambers after causing the death of untold thousands, after subjecting tens of thousands, maybe over 100,000 now, undocumented alien children coming to this country and just disappearing, becoming what? The toys for pedophiles, becoming the slave labor for corporations, becoming what? Just lost to the system, not to mention the millions of adults that come in, not to mention the tens of thousands of people that are obviously soldiers. We watched a video from a rancher in Arizona, and the people coming through his property were all wearing fatigues. They all had backpacks on. They looked like a platoon of soldiers. Why? Because they were, in fact, a platoon of soldiers. And this is what the President of the United States, this is what Joe Biden has intentionally created in this country. And you can't look at him and smile. You can't hear him talk and smile. You can't hear him talk and applaud, no matter what he says, because this is like applauding the devil himself. This is like applauding the intentional destruction of our civilization. And if I'm repeating myself, it's because I can't believe that this happened. I can't believe that you can allow this gentleman to come in there and lie to the American people and call half of us the problem while trying to unite all of us, according to him. Of course, he doesn't say that anymore. But ladies and gentlemen, we cannot tolerate it. We cannot tolerate him. What we have to do is stand up as a unit. If we want to call ourselves Republicans, call ourselves Republicans, but stand up against this evil and don't smile for it. Don't applaud it. It needs to be shouted down. It needs to be slapped down, and we need to end it today.
Fighting against the New World Order. More Mark McCloskey on Fire coming up. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Mark McCloskey. On Fire. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Mark McCloskey on Fire. Well, you know, we used to call this a free country. And you know how you can tell how unfree of a country you are? Is when your politicians and your talking heads constantly have to remind you that we're the freest country on earth, right? Because we get told that about 800,000 times a day by the media. And anything the media and the government tells you is obviously the opposite of the truth. What we live in here in the United States today is a police state. You now have, as an American citizen, the right to say whatever you think and feel as long as the government agrees with it. If the government doesn't agree with it, if the swamp doesn't like what you're saying, if the unit party doesn't like what you're saying, you'll be censored, you'll be canceled, or your life will be absolutely destroyed. And you see it coming from the top down, and they start with President Trump, and they're working their way down, and they're catching smaller and smaller fish every day, and eventually it'll be everybody. But so here's the current scenario, right? You're a politician, or you work for a politician, or the attorney for a politician, and that politician makes the mistake of being more successful than the party elite, than the swamp, than the media expects or wants, and so you have to be destroyed. And, of course, we're talking about what's happened ever since Joe Biden got elected president. We're talking about going back to 2015, 2016, when it became apparent to the powers that be, to the entrenched, what do you call them? Swamp, that's the nicest word I can come up with for it, when they discovered that maybe President Trump, maybe Donald Trump would have an actual opportunity of becoming president, and they could not tolerate that concept because he was not subject to control. And so they start doing these things like infiltrating his campaign, spying on his campaign, starting to set up his campaign operatives. What did we learn most recently? That the CIA, that the Department of Homeland Security, that all the vast three-letter network of the powers that be that seek to destroy us decided to identify, 24, 26 Trump supporters to then create a fictitious scenario whereby they were suspicious characters so that foreign governments would start to surveil them. once a foreign government started to surveil him, then that came to the attention of the FBI, and then the FBI started to surveil him. And this became the basis for the Russia hoax, right, where we now had all these people who were first highlighted by our government for the express purpose of bringing them to the attention of foreign governments so that the foreign governments would then be picked up by our FBI, and the FBI would then investigate these people as being subversives because otherwise they wouldn't be being investigated by foreign governments. And this way the CIA was able, through the back door, to undermine the Trump campaign, to start setting up people like George Papadopoulos and Mike Flynn and all the other people that took a hit. Well, and then we hear this gentleman named Michael Benz, who I talked about in the past, and hopefully we'll get him on the show here as a guest in the near future. But here's a guy that worked in the intel community. Here's a guy who detailed on Tucker Carlson's show about how all the forces of our intelligence agencies, the CIA, the FBI, Department of Defense, Department of Justice, and Department of Homeland Security had all used the internet in the past and liked the open internet as a way to infiltrate, undermine, and destroy other people's governments, pointing outward from the United States to foment coups like we did in Ukraine in 2014, undermine governments and control them. Well, then in about, 2016. What happened in 2016? Donald Trump gets elected president, and they can't tolerate that because he, like I say, is not subject to control. And so all these entities turned inward and decided that a free and open internet was now uncontrollable, that a mid-level blogger now had more influence over the thoughts of the American people than the New York Times. And therefore, whereas the powers that be, the CIA, the NSA, all these different surveillance entities used to be able to manipulate public thought by just controlling a handful of television networks and a handful of major publications like the New York Times. But now there are thousands of bloggers out there, people like you and me, that have some influence and are out of the government's control, out from under their thumb. And so all this apparatus of surveillance, all this apparatus of gathering intelligence and using it to corrupt and undermine political systems was turned inward to control elections in this country, to censor people that they didn't like the opinions of, to preclude information they didn't like from being disseminated to the public, and to cancel any opposition or to make opposition look foolish or to just arrest people. And the progress has gone forward ever since then. You now have, well, obviously, we all know what's happened to Donald Trump. Here's a guy who was president of the United States, who then has his home raided by the FBI with automatic weapons, going through his wife's underwear drawer, going through his son's closets, setting up bogus photographs, for example, where they take stuff and spread it all over the floor, take pictures of it like this really existed, and then charge him with the alleged crime of retention of documents when, as the Supreme Court has said previously, the president has absolute discretion to decide what is and is not confidential, what is or is not sensitive information, and can keep whatever he darn well pleases. But that doesn't make any difference because there's no law anymore. There's no due process anymore. What we have now is a federal Department of Justice, which is nothing more than the KGB, nothing more than the Gestapo. It's just the enforcement arm of the powers that be. And you can't call it the Democrats, and you can't even call it the deep state, because just as many Republicans are involved in not standing up against it. I mean, when Mar-a-Lago got raided, was there a instantaneous call for the impeachment of, for example, Merrick Garland? Was there instantaneous call for a firing of everybody in the upper echelon of the FBI? Did you hear any Republican with any kind of status or stature stand up and say, we cannot have this in a free country, we cannot have this in our alleged republic? No. And You know, and it goes on and on from there. The President Trump gets indicted. President Trump gets sued. And you get jurisdictions where, for example, my favorite, of course, is, you know, he gets sued by some woman who claims that 30 years ago he fondled her in a dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman in Manhattan. Well, this is as likely as the concept that I've got penguins nesting in my hair right now. And yet she got a $5 million judgment against Donald Trump on this allegation that he sexually molested her in the dressing room at Bergdorf Goodman. Well, $5 million for that. And then Trump says, I didn't do it. I didn't rape anybody. And by the way, he was acquitted on, even by a jury that hates him, even by a jury that would find him guilty of breathing oxygen on the moon if he was charged with it, acquitted him of the rape charge. So Donald Trump goes public and said, I didn't rape this woman. I didn't molest her. Now defending yourself is an actionable offense now. And so she sues him for defamation for claiming that he didn't do the thing that she defamed him by alleging when it didn't really happen. What's that worth? $83 million to some jury. And so Trump posted this week a $91 million bond to appeal this travesty. Meanwhile, he's also got to post $450 million bond to get away to be able to appeal the judgment of the other New York court for what? For engaging in business transactions that everybody engages in, where the banks testified that not only were they happy to loan him money, but he paid them back with interest. And if he asked for more money, he'd have given that too. They'd be happy to lend him more money. Once again, there is no such thing as justice in this country anymore. When they wish to destroy you, they will make up a charge. They will charge you with something that's never been used for anything like that before. They will present it to a grand jury by lying to the grand jury about the evidence they have. The grand jury will then indict you. You'll be put in front of a judge that hates you. You'll be put in front of a jury that hates you. And you will be, you know, I say this all the time. If you get a dishonest district attorney that wants to charge you just because of your political beliefs, even if they run specifically against you, even if they run for office vowing to get you for something if they get elected, and even if they have nothing, they will indict you, the jury will convict you, and you have to go to jail just like you did a real crime. And that's the problem in this country today. What's the solution? How do you defend yourself if saying you didn't do it subjects you to a civil defamation claim where some jury is going to give $83 million to some woman because you say you didn't rape her when the jury already agreed you didn't rape her? What the hell are you supposed to do? And then, for example, in the Fulton County cases where Fannie Willis, when she's not screwing her chief prosecutor that she's paying for with public dollars, charges everybody in the Western Hemisphere with RICO, organized crime charges, for disputing an obviously fraudulent election, where Rudy Giuliani gets hit with a civil judgment for $120 million for publicly saying what we all saw, which is people pulling suitcases full of ballots out from under a desk and having them counted. I mean, where do you go? And so then you try to defend yourself. You hire lawyers. Well, guess what? The lawyers then get charged. Talk to John Eastman about it. John Eastman's a defendant down in the Fulton County case. John Eastman is fighting for his law license. The state of California has been trying to take his law license away since last June, and he's got that on appeal now. But what do you do? If you get charged and put in front of one of these kangaroo courts, and your lawyer is going to get charged for defending you, and then your witnesses will get charged for testifying. And I'll digress on this. You'll recall that there was a guy named Smirnoff who was a whistleblower and a guy who was the basis for some, not all like the media would have you believe, but some of the evidence against Joe and Hunter Biden for taking bribes, right? He comes forward and he blows a whistle on the fact that Joe Biden and Hunter Biden took bribes from foreign governments. So what happens? The FBI arrests him, right, and charges him with lying. Well, have we heard this story before, maybe? Maybe General Mike Flynn gets charged with lying to the FBI and pleads guilty because they threatened to destroy his son's life if he doesn't plead guilty. Well, so anyway, the whistleblower then, despite the fact that he's protected by federal statute as a whistleblower, gets charged by the FBI, arrested, and charged with perjury for lying to the FBI about the very charges that he's alleging against the Bidens. And then the White House demands a retraction from Fox News for reporting on Mr. Smirnoff's whistleblowing on the basis that now, since he's been arrested for perjury, you can't believe a word he says. You gotta almost appreciate the amazing gall of the left to steal money, to engage in corrupt activity the way the Bidens have, lining their pockets with $20 or $30 million worth of money given to them by foreign governments, given to them by Ukraine, given to them by China, given to them by the wife of the ex-mayor of Moscow, right? 20-some shell corporations all funneling money into various members of Biden's family, including grandchildren and nieces and stuff like that. And then when somebody's got the guts to stand up and say, we've got the evidence that these people are taking bribes, the government then arrests them, charges them with lying about what they blew the whistle on, and then having the gall to say, you can't rely on this guy. He's been arrested for perjury. He's obviously a liar. And we said he's a liar, and you got to believe us because we've lied about every single thing else we've told you in the last 3 years. And therefore, when we tell you this guy's a liar and he shouldn't be relied on, you have to believe us, and you need to retract your statements based on this liar's testimony. Well, there's been a lot of hearings in front of Congress, in front of Jamie Comer's committee, and Jason Smith's committee, and Jim Jordan's committee, and every single person that's testified has told a different story than Hunter Biden and Jim Biden. Do you think they're going to get charged with perjury? Do you think Hunter Biden's going to go to jail? Do you think he's going to get indicted? Do you think that, let's say that somebody in Congress actually had the guts to make a criminal referral of Hunter Biden or Jim Biden or Joe Biden, for that matter, to the Department of Justice? Do you think the Department of Justice is actually going to take any action? Of course not. Who doesn't get charged with anything? The left. Who gets charged with fictitious crimes? The right. Who goes to trial? The right. Who makes tons of money and never has any actual repercussions? Anybody with a D behind their name and anybody with an R behind their name who is willing to knuckle under. And then you think about my friend George Santos. And maybe George made some stuff up, and maybe he isn't the nicest guy in the world when it comes to telling the truth. I don't know that. But I know this. He always voted Republican. He always voted conservative. And guess what? They've now, our own Republican Party has intentionally replaced him with a Democrat.
Fighting against totalitarianism. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire. Cover me
when I sleep. For podcast articles and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com.
Mark McCloskey on Fire. You're listening to Mark McCloskey on Fire.
Well, welcome back once again, ladies and gentlemen. Mark McCloskey on Fire. You know, I'm talking about how the deep state will crush you if you say the wrong thing or you say anything the government doesn't approve of. Well, even my little old producer here, Ken, he's been now permanently banned from X. Why? Because they claim he tried to impersonate somebody. Although the only thing he ever did on X was be himself, and he had statements from his employers here and everybody else that he had never done anything other than be himself, didn't say anything rude, didn't say anything impolite, but does have relatively conservative opinions, as do most of the people here at this radio station and most of the people here listening to this broadcast. But X has decided that Ken's not Ken. And when Ken says he is Ken, he can't be Ken because, by God, they said he's not Ken. And so they've indefinitely suspended his X account. This is the Elon Musk X account. This is the Elon Musk, the purveyor of uncensored access to the internet who's booted him. Well, and I got my whole station here booted off of YouTube a couple of weeks ago because I had on a guy who told you the truth about the vaccines, all right? And so nothing is more likely to get you burned by the deep state than telling the truth. And I got to tell you, there's a pattern now which is frightening, pattern now which is no different than Stalin's Soviet Union, no different than Mao's Great Leap Forward, and that is this this pattern of the FBI knocking on your door or kicking it in and throwing flashbangs in and terrorizing your family, hauling everybody out in their underwear in the middle of the night at gunpoint for what? For whatever they damn well please. And it, they did it to Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. They did it to Roger Stone, 70-some-year-old gentleman who is about as frightening as a golden retriever, right? All they had to do was ask him, and he'd turn himself in. But instead, they kick in his doors at 4 o'clock in the morning with amphibious vehicles and machine guns and everything else. Oh, and by the way, CNN cameras, because they had to notify the CNN cameraman first to make sure that their humiliation of Roger Stone didn't go unnoticed. But then, you know, you got Peter Navarro. Poor Peter Navarro. His crime was that he upheld the law. His crime was that he refused to divulge confidential communications between him and the president when he was the senior trade advisor to the president of the United States and having confidential conversations with him. Peter Navarro would have happily turned himself in had they asked, but no. They haul him off an airplane in chains. They strip search him. They humiliate him, and now they're going to put him in prison. For what? For the alleged charge is contempt of Congress for refusing to honor a congressional subpoena. Well, it seems to me that a couple of months ago, Hunter Biden refused to comply with a congressional subpoena. Did they put him in jail? Did they arrest him? Did the DOJ come and haul him out of the White House or wherever the hell he's living these days in chains? No, of course not. Our Republicans in charge of the House of Representatives said, okay, well, let's agree at a time when it's convenient for you, when you can come in and lie to us under oath. All right. No chains, no arrests, no hauling off of airplanes. Just come on back and please be a nice guy, and we'll interview you, and you can lie to us under oath. And then later on, after you've lied to us under oath, we'll put you up in front of public so that you can then lie your ass off on TV when all these congressmen will stand up there and get their 5 minutes of grandstanding and then say that we had those evil MAGA Republicans have nothing against Joe Biden and it's all just a political hit job. So you go down the list. You got Roger Stone. You got President Trump. You got Peter Navarro. You got Mike Lindell. He's not even an elected official. He's just a guy who's willing to put his life and his fortune on the line to tell us the truth about the election fraud in 2020. He's getting a hamburger at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the FBI blocks him in. The FBI blocking in a private citizen at a drive-through at a restaurant in the middle of the night, and then sees his cell phone. Right, and I've said this a dozen times, but I'll say it again. Think about yourself. Put yourself in Mike Lindell's situation. You know the government hates you. You know the deep state wants you to die. They want to drive you out of business. They want to take every penny from you. And if they can, hopefully cause you to die in prison, just like the swamp's goal is for Donald Trump. And then the FBI blocks you and they demand your cell phone. You have two choices. You turn over your cell phone knowing that this corrupt, dishonest government will place information on your cell phone that they will then use to prosecute you for something. Or if you refuse to turn over your cell phone, they will charge you with obstruction of justice, arrest you, and put you in jail for the rest of your life, just the same. So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place because there is no longer rule of law in this country. There is no longer due process. What you have is a Gestapo that will come in there and kick in your doors. Well, there's a guy running for Congress in West Virginia right now who was a whistleblower against the Clinton Foundation back in the oldie days of the 2016 election. And he had some inside scoop that he was working for the FBI, that the FBI was sitting on information about the Clinton Foundation's unethical or illegal payoffs to facilitate the purchase of Uranium-1 to a Russian corporation, right? What happened to him? Same stuff. Doors kicked in. 16 federal agents come in, kick in his doors, terrorize him, hold guns to his head and his family's head, haul him off. No charges, no conviction, no trial, no nothing. Just how dare you say the truth? And by the way, once again, he was allegedly protected by the federal whistleblowing statute to absolutely no avail. Same thing. One of the interesting things that I saw recently was an interview Tucker Carlson did with a guy you might remember. He's a doctor, Keith Ablow. He used to be the talking head for Fox News before Dr. Mark Siegel is now. He was a psychiatrist, and he made the mistake of saying in 2012 during a debate that Joe Biden had the signs of dementia. We're talking 2012. What's that, 12 years ago now? And in response for him making that observation, well, his medical license was pulled. All of his credentials were pulled. He's been sued numbers of times. But even more interestingly, just like everybody else has got the guts to stick their heads up now, he gets his doors kicked in. Federal agents, DEA agents, not FBI, not Homeland Security, but the DEA kicks in his doors, haul him out at gunpoint, take all of his personal property, take his cell phones, his laptop computer, all his guns, and guess what? He happened to be Hunter Biden's psychiatrist, and Hunter Biden had left a laptop computer with Dr. Ablow, and the DEA took Hunter's laptop along with the doctor's laptop and his cell phones and his medical records, even the doctor's own medical records about his treatment by his therapist, just seized it all. No charges, no arrest, no explanation, and just this is the world we live in. We live in a police state where they come in, they kick in your doors, they storm your house, they hold you at gunpoint, they steal your personal property, they steal your guns with no excuse, no explanation, and no apology down the road. Well, and not just the people whose names you've heard of, and we've had a number of J6ers on the program, but there have been now over 1,200 J6ers arrested. There have been over 100 convictions on criminal charges of the 100 J6ers that have chosen to try their cases rather than knuckle under and plead guilty to the government. And, you know, the conviction rate in D.C. Federal court under the D.C. U.S. attorney had been about 65%. That's lower than the average conviction rate under federal statutes, because when the federal prosecutor, when the U.S. attorney comes in and talks to the jury in opening statement, and this is now the United States of America versus Joe Blow, well, that's pretty hard to overcome. But because, like everything else in D.C., the U.S. attorney there is, you know, not the sharpest tack in the drawer, he had about a 65% conviction rate. You know what the conviction rate is for January 6ers? 100%, right? 100%. It seems like, miraculously, there's not a single innocent person brought up on charges in D.C. There's been no mistakes made. There's been no exculpatory evidence. Every single person that's chosen to try their case has been convicted. And so you know what else they do? These J6ers that have the guts to not roll over and plead guilty, they ask for a change of venue. They ask for a change of venue because obviously if there's 100% conviction rate, it's got nothing to do with what you actually did. It's got nothing to do with the charges actually brought against you. It has to do with the fact of your political opinions and the jury in front of whom your case is going to be tried. And so all of these folks have asked the courts for a change of venue on the basis that obviously the jury pool in Washington, D.C. is biased and cannot be fair and does not provide you with your Sixth Amendment right to a trial by jury of your peers, an impartial jury of your peers. And you know what? 100% of those change of venue motions have been denied. This isn't about justice. This isn't about finding whether or not these individuals actually committed a crime. This is a persecution. This is a public execution. This is no different than Stalin's Russia. This is no different than Mao's China. No different than China today, for that matter. But what this is an ongoing performance on the part of the government to say, you raise your head above ground if you're willing to do anything which overtly displays your super MAGA tendencies. We will destroy you. We will financially ruin you. We will destroy your lives, destroy your family lives, and harass you for the rest of time. Well, guess what? Happens to be an election year. There was kind of a hiatus of arrests of J6ers during 2023 because a court system in D.C. had been so overloaded with all these poor sons of guns that had been wrongfully arrested. And by the way, you know, when they arrest these people, and I keep repeating it because it's just hard to imagine this is happening in the United States of America. They come in the middle of the night, people that would be very happy to turn themselves in. They flashbang their houses, setting the houses on fire, blowing out the eardrums of their family members, hauling them out with machine guns pointed to their heads and their kids' heads and their wives' heads, and haul them off in the middle of the night. And guess what? Now it's an election year. Now the FBI is out there arresting more and more people. They're arresting J6ers at an increasing rate and at an increased rate. Because why? Because they want to portray January 6, 2021 as the worst assault against our, quote, democracy of all time. Worse than the Civil War. Worse than Pearl Harbor. Worse than 9-1-1. And we have to keep reminding the American people that this was Donald Trump's insurrection, that he planned this, and all these people came there specifically because Donald Trump came to Washington, D.C. and called out his forces and said, we're going to overthrow this government. And so all these, you know, middle-aged, post-middle-aged Republican men and women singing the national anthem, reciting the Declaration of Independence, you know, moving forward on their walkers and on their canes towards the Capitol building, wearing their American flags. These people were planning an insurrection. Of course, they didn't have any weapons with them. They didn't plan to do anything violent. And the vast majority of people who did something violent were agents provocateur working for the government. And guess what? Even now, with Mike Johnson sitting on tens of thousands of hours of video that would be exculpatory, would set these folks free, promised us when he was running for speaker that he would release all this video. Guess what? Not happened, right? Is it going to happen? Who knows? Has it happened yet? Definitely not. But here's the deal. The statute of limitations runs in 2026. They've got to arrest everybody they want to arrest. It's on schedule now to have about 2,300 people arrested. You imagine all these people sitting in jail, and most of them are getting a terrorism enhancement costing them 10 extra years in prison based on a statute which was designed to prevent Enron-type document fraud, right? Never been used in criminal cases against individuals before. The Supreme Court's going to look at it. It's going to hear arguments in April, and hopefully the Supreme Court will throw out all those charges. A lot of people will get out of jail, but hopefully when Donald Trump gets elected president, he's going to do a wholesale pardoning and commutation of the sentences of all these poor sons of guns. But right now, we live in a police state. Right now, we live in a situation where if you don't do what you're told and shut the hell up, your doors will get kicked in, you get a gun pointed to your head, and you get the choice of going to prison for decades or pleading guilty and having your life destroyed nonetheless. Well, stand up against it, refuse to do it, and vote for Donald J. Trump. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Fighting against the New World Order. This is Mark McCloskey on Fire.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.